We're going to read through the Bible. We'll read some verses that relate to a certain topic, and then we'll pray about it. I hope to have it as more of an informal thing or a discussion thing. So if there are questions that people want to raise, I think that we can raise them here. Very small enough, informal enough, so I think that can happen. But let's first turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And can someone read verses 3 through 6?
Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts.
Okay. We're going to hold that passage, and then we're going to skip to the book of Mark in the New Testament. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34.
Mark 12, 28 through 34. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, You are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions.
Okay, great. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this, for your word. Lord, for this word that you've given, for the words that you spoke to Moses, and the word that you spoke to that man who wanted to know what is the most important commandment. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us and for making a way so that it can be recorded and we can learn more about you and more about what it is that you want. Father, I pray that you make our hearts receptive to your word. Lord, make our hearts receptive to the word. Lord, I pray that it would sink deep into our hearts all the meaning of your word, Lord, so that we'd know it and we'd understand it and we'd be able to obey it. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I'm going to go by my notes. But the first question that I think I want to ask is, so we just read two passages in the Old and the New Testament. The question is, what is the most important commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, is that the greatest one? Is that the most important one? Right. Yeah, from Mark, just from what we just read, Mark 12:29. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. And there are no commandment. There's no commandment greater than these. So it seems like there is one, two, and then everything else. The first one being, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then, love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah, that's great. And I love the commandments. But something I've been going through in my meditation, just trying to figure out, why is it that God wants us to follow these commandments? So what I hope to go through today is just figure out, why is it that God wants us to obey that commandment? Why is that the most important one? I mean, there's don't sin, don't commit adultery, don't commit fornication, don't lie, don't steal, don't be greedy and everything. But the very first one is this one. So today I want to go through why is it important and how it is that we can go about obeying it. So first of all, the reason why, I can think of three reasons why we should love God with all of our heart, soul, and strength. The first one is that God is our Father. He really cares for us. He's the one that takes care of us all day long. He gave us life. Today and this morning, I looked at the way that organisms sexually reproduce. And they have there are 23 chromosomes in one egg, and one sperm has 23 chromosomes, and they all get together, and when they share their genetics, their genes, and they make some life. But I find that to be highly unsatisfactory, and even the experts, at least on Wikipedia, seem to think that that was also the case, that no one really understands how life comes about. Scientists can't reproduce it to this day. They have yet to create life. Scientists can borrow life, but they can't create it. It's something that God does. He gives us everything that we have. He gives us intelligence in what we have here. And I look at my family, and I look at the way that certain of us have grown. There are certain of us that had similar opportunity, but some did better with that same opportunity than another in my own family. And that's not just my immediate family, but then all the families all around, given the same schooling, the same education level, yet some were able to do better and achieve remarkably higher standards than the others. And the question is, why exactly is that? Why isn't it? And the answer really is, as my parents will always tell me, is because God gave certain people intelligence that he didn't give to others. And that's fine, but he gives you what you have. He gives people beauty. We're all beautiful people here, with the exception of maybe one of us. But no, God gives beauty, exceptional beauty. So there is someone that will love you. Even some of us will be loved. He's the one that gives us. He gives us everything we have. If we don't understand that yet, it's something we need to know. The reason why we can even get to this place and drive here and pay for our education and get our education, as some of us are living here, and get work and get money and everything, is because God has given it to us. It's God. He deserves to be loved just because of that. But there's something else he gives. He gives us, he's our Father, we should love him, yes. But if we don't love him, he will be our Father, and if we end up rebelling against him and fighting against our Father, he will have to eventually. There will be trouble in the house, and that son will have to be kicked out. I speak from experience on that matter. For a period of about 4 years, I engaged in some kind of really active rebellion against my own father, who lives in New York, who I just visited with along with Anna here. He would tell me to do something. I would just say, no, I'm not going to do it. Where before, I'd been a very obedient boy, and I chose to rebel against him. We would get into arguments about, I can't even remember what we got into arguments about, but they became so heated, I would just yell at him. He would tell me to do something. He'd say, no, you have to do it. And we'd just get so angry at each other. at some points we would even come to physical fights. At some point, I remember several times my hands were around on his body to do him harm, and his hands were also coming to me, and it wasn't a pretty picture, in the least. But I knew for a fact there were several times my father was tempted. Oh, let me just call the police. Let's get him out of here. He doesn't belong here. And my mother pleaded with him, no, let's take this to the pastor. Let's take this to somebody. Let's work this out. I know for a fact that it's true. If you rebel, if I continued in my rebellion, I was actually preparing to leave my house because I knew I couldn't stay there any longer. Somebody has to leave if there's a rebellious child in the house. And it's always going to be the child. The father will never leave. It's the child who will leave first. And that's the way it is with God too, if I can draw that comparison there. We rebel against God in the worst way possible every time that we sin, the first time we sin. Thankfully, this is something that God has been dealing with me on, and I've been seeing sin. It's, with every person, it comes to a point. You can stay in my house, but my rules are, don't sin. If you're sinning, stop it now. Work with me. I'll help you. I'll do everything I can to help you. But if you keep on your sinning, somebody's going to leave this house. And of course, that person will never be the father. It will always be the one who's rebelling. That's why God needs to be loved. Kind of first. Just because he's done so much for you. And if you choose to go against everything that he's done for you, that's the worst kind of wrong. You'll be taken out of your father's house. The psalm says that you should kiss the son, or else he will be angry. Be at peace with God, is what it says, or else his wrath will burn against you. That's reason number one. Reason number two why I think we should love God is because he's our friend. I like to think of a friend as someone who looks out for you. Someone who's, he shares with you, but he's looking out for your good. God saw that we had a problem with him. And I can dwell on this for a long time, that God, even though we sinned against him, saw we had a problem with him and tried to find this kind of backdoor way to get us back into his good graces. Jesus came here on earth. He loved us so much. I think one of the best ways, something I was shown today, shown a few weeks ago actually, Jesus loves you so much that he chose to be pure for your sake. Jesus suffered every single temptation that we had, and he could have decided, I want to have fun. I'm a young guy. I want to have fun. I want to enjoy my life while it is. I want to get married like everyone else does, even though my father told me I'm not supposed to get married. I want to get married, and he could have, I want to do this, I want to work this job. But no, Jesus kept himself pure from all of it for us. The best friend that you can be to somebody is by keeping yourself from sin. The best way to be a friend to somebody is to keep yourself from sin. Sin destroys friendships. Holiness, it creates friendships, it maintains friendships, and it builds friendships to be higher and better. If there's sin in your heart, even in your heart, that you don't think ever comes out, it will come out somehow, and you'll find that if you're close with one person, there's going to be friction between you and that person. I found this to be true in the short weeks that I've been married. If there's at all sin with your best friend and you happen to be living with that best friend, there will be friction. And I think it's the reason why it's the only reason why so many marriages are failing, is because there's sin there. If the sin goes and both people set their hearts on seeking God, there goes the friction. Jesus kept himself pure for us so that when it came the right time, he could sacrifice it all for us. If you know about Jesus, if you know what he did for you, but you don't love him, that's a great disparity. If you know fully what Jesus has done for you and died for you, died for your sin, he gave his all for us, and then you know yourself that you're not giving your whole life to him. There's a disparity there, and that love, you should love him at least with everything that you have. And the last reason I just want to talk about why I think we should love God is just because he's God. He is God. He is the king over everything. He's king and he's Lord, and he sits on this throne in heaven that no one can touch. The Bible describes it. There's this awesome sea of glass. It could be diamond for all I know. A sea of it just sitting in front of him, and it sparkles. He's full of fire. No one can really approach him. He's God. Every culture has a God. Every single culture has a God. Chinese culture has a God. There's a God to worship. Native American culture, they have some God that they can worship, that they love, and they will sacrifice their best things for that God. In African worship and some of the tribal worships, of course, the Polish missionary came and he shared how his family used to sacrifice these animals, the best things they had, so that whatever their problems would go away. Everywhere, everybody has a God. How do you know what your God is the question. And I finally have an answer for it. The number one way that you can know what your God is, or that I think is clear, is a thing that if you have it, you think this way. You think if you have it, then everything will go well for you. And I can prove it here in Deuteronomy 6, verse 3. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly, and so forth. God is saying, obey him, that God, so that everything will go well for you. Every God is trying to say that if you worship him, if you love him, everything will go well for you. So for America, the God, there is one main God, and it's been this way for a long time. It's money. It's the American dream. The streets are paved with gold, is what they used to say, and there's every street corner, you know, there's something great happening. It's a thing that if you seek money, you're going to be happy. You're going to fulfill your dreams, and it's continuing what Freddie was talking about last week. If you have the money that you want and you seek hard enough, you can become a millionaire. Who wants to become a millionaire? Survivor, outlast, outlive, outrun, outdo, and everything, outwit. So you can win a $1 million prize at the end, I think. Is that the deal? Some huge money prize. The game shows win-win lottery, win-win win money, money, money. Get the money and get the money. And America is a land where people are seeking desperately after their God money so that their God money will take care of them, so that everything will go well for them. Nowadays, it's becoming, there's another rival God to money. It's the God of sex in America over the last few decades that has been importing it all over the world. This God that you just need to have for guys, you need to have some girl, and you just need to spend some time with her alone, and then things will go well for you. You'll be a happy guy. Everything will work out. You'll be a man, and then you'll be able to live on. And the same is true of women, too. You need to do everything you can and dress in the right way so that all the men will be attracted to you, and then you'll be fully fulfilled. You'll have the man on your side, and that's that. It's wrong, and it's evil, because if you seek after money, you will suffer for it. And if you seek after sex or any of these gods, anything, they will make you suffer for it. Seek after money. I've sought after money in my life. About a year and a half ago, I started, almost 2 years ago now, I started a job in the teaching field so that I could make an honest living is what I make. I didn't make that much money. It made, as far as the world goes, it made like $40,000 or so a year. And, of course, so much went away in taxes and everything. But it was decent enough for me to say, oh, wow, I have some spare cash on my hand. Let me see what I can spend and what I can do. And I increased in GPSs and I increased in PDAs and all the electronic goodies, cell phones. I don't know how many cell phones I had that year. Quite a few. And I was like, wow, I could spend this. I can go here. I can do this thing with this money. But in the end, it was an awful job. Every single day, you know, every single weekend, I would go to my then fiance Anna and say, oh, I want to leave this job. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back the next Monday. I don't want to go back. I don't care about the vacations. Oh, yeah, they have a whole summer vacation, but I'll get rid of it just so long as I don't have to have this job. And it became misery for me, personally. It's misery, and it's misery, and it's misery to seek after money for its own terms. Let God be your God, and let Him be the one that provides for you. I ended up personally quitting that job. I sent in my resignation letter, kind of badly, but I did anyway because I prayed about it. And I asked God that what I should do. And finally, at the end, he told me, go ahead, send the resignation letter. And I sent him a resignation letter. And I spent this whole 10 months, 11 months now, just walking with God and trying to walk with God. When I was seeking money, God was far. As some people here can attest, God was far. I wasn't interested in the things of God. I went to church and I prayed with people, but in my own time, I wasn't reading the Bible. I wasn't seeking. I wasn't praying. Hardly anything. Very little. I backslid greatly, but I was able to spend most of this past year just getting back to God and making Him my Lord and my God. And happiness has been going up. Happiness of other people around me has also been going up. And it's been really great to let God be my God. So those are three short reasons why I think God should be your God. Because He's your Father, He's your friend, and He's your God. You're to love Him for those three reasons. But as for how to serve Him, and the Bible gives the three ways. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength. So, how do you love God with your heart? Becomes the question. How do you love God with all your heart? And then it gets to the question, well, what is your heart? Your heart, your science tells us, is this beating, pumping thing with blood that sends all the blood around the body and does all this great stuff for the physical functions. But now the Bible paints it a little bit differently. It says, the picture of the Bible is this thing that's deep within you that gives you your thoughts and it motivates your actions. The Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, a man speaks, and it comes from out of him comes all the evil actions that he does. It's the thing that is that the deepest thing within you that is controlling what it is that you're thinking and doing. I don't know what your personal God is. My God is God, and it's my prayer that God would be my God. That Jesus Christ and His Father in heaven would be my God. I've prayed seriously that money would stop being my God in every way. that it wouldn't be that thing that if I have it, then things would go well for me. And same thing with sex, with popularity, it's leaving. Education, it's not my God. The profession, even what it is that you choose to do, or even a person, you need to set your heart on getting away from that God and giving your heart truly to Jesus Christ. Give Jesus Christ, God, your heart. As I was sharing before, He's the only one that will love and take care of your heart. Money, if you seek after money, you will burn for it here on earth. And the Bible also says, and I believe it, that there's a punishment to come after you die. And the same is true for sex. If you seek it, there will be burning for you now, in your mind and in your life, that if you seek it, you will burn for it. No. If you seek after a person, you will also burn for it. There will be trouble and trouble and trouble. The person will be able to fulfill your needs. But God can fill your, He can fill your heart. It's the only person that can really fill your heart. I gave my life to Jesus Christ in a real official way when I was 20 years old on the Thursday before Christmas Day. I prayed and I told God that because of everything that had happened and that I'd seen that my life was wrong and that it was terribly wrong and it was leading me toward a wrong path, that I was going to die and I was going to go to hell. I said, no, I know what the right thing is. I know that if I seek God, I'll have life. So I said, okay, I'm going to seek You with everything that I, with all my life. I'm going to give it to You. Jesus Christ came into my heart then, not as any kind of intellectual thing or something that I have to force myself to do. It's that thing, Jesus answered my prayer, as I know He's done for other people here. He came into my heart. He cleaned it. He helped me to break off wrong relationships with people that were influencing my life negatively. He gave me the desire to go to church, to worship God, to be in His presence, and to sing and to shout and to dance. He gave me a desire to find other people who were also seeking good and not evil things, but the good things, to find Christians who had really been saved. If you want Jesus Christ to fill your heart, He can fill it today. It's the only way to love God with all your heart. It's if Jesus Christ Himself comes into your heart, He cleans out the wrong and gives you the power that you need to love His God and our God, to love Him, to love Him. Jesus Christ is the only person that really loved God with his heart, and so you need Him to come inside. If you pray and talk to God, He will answer. And I want to say that again, if you pray with your heart and you ask Jesus Christ to come in, if He hasn't already, He will answer your heart. He will answer the cry of your heart, and He will come into your heart and make you a new person. That's how to love God with your heart. It begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it begins with that invitation to ask Christ into your heart. But the Bible also says to seek the Lord, to love the Lord your God with your soul. And Jesus adds with your mind, but really they're the same thing. The soul and the mind, it's kind of one big complex. It's in the soul that you make your decisions. If you decide to seek God, you will seek God. If you decide that you want to find out about God, set your mind on it. You want to find out about God. It's something you have control of. You can control your mind at all times and tell it, do this. And provided that it listens to you, then you will do that. It becomes much easier once you have Jesus Christ in your heart. It becomes actually possible. Because once you have Jesus Christ in your heart, the Bible also says that you have the mind of Christ. You're able to seek God in a new way. Decide to pray. Set time to pray. And it's something that we've been saying over these last few months now. Set apart 15 minutes a day to pray. And to 15 minutes to read the Bible. That's half hour a day. I was reflecting on it because I haven't watched TV in any serious way in years. Since I had a TV or a TV card in my computer or something. But I went home and they have a TV and they were watching TV. I thought to myself that the least one of those TV shows is 30 minutes long. And if it's a good drama, it's an hour long. And if you watch a good movie, it's at least 2 hours long, if not 3 hours. So maybe if you watch a couple TV shows a day and you watch a movie, maybe two movies, one movie a week, two movies, three movies a week, maybe if you do that, you'll have given about 2 hours a day to TV. I thought to myself, if I can't pray for 30 minutes, but I can watch TV for 30 minutes, something's terribly wrong. God must be far, or I must not be interested in God. If I can't pray for 30 minutes, like I can watch, I don't know, some cartoon or something I used to watch, or some TV show, or some sports game that lasts forever. It's a problem, but you can decide to seek God. With your soul, decide to stay far from sin. Decide to stay far from sin. That's how you love God with your soul. That's impossible for the person that doesn't have Jesus Christ in his heart, but it's entirely possible for the person that has Jesus Christ. I can speak from experience now. If you have decided, and you can tell God that I am not going to sin in that way, I am stopping. If you don't know Jesus Christ, there's no hope. You will not be able to stop. You will sin, and you can say, I'm going to, you know, this thing is an awful thing. This sinful practice, I know it's sin, and I know it's awful. I'm going to stop it. It's really bad. I want to stop it. But no matter what, you're going to end up doing it again. And you're going to do it again and again. Maybe if you're really strong, you'd stop doing that thing. Maybe. But then there'd be something else. But once you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you can tell, you can actually say, I won't sin that way. And the thing is, Jesus will come in his power. He will say, okay, he said that. Let me back him up with all of my power so that he actually is able to fulfill his word. I've seen that be true for a number of things in my life. It was remarkable. It was an experiment I tried about 3 weeks ago in the heat of the NBA finals. I told myself, I am not going to watch the NBA anymore. I saw that I was spending too much time on NBA.com. I was spending too much time. They have some awful things that are very suggestive on that site. So you might, even if you're just innocent and you just want to watch the games, you can't avoid the cheerleaders. They're everywhere. So if you miss one thing, then they get you the other way. And it just takes time. It's a worldly thing, the NBA and the basketball pursuits. Not necessarily playing, but the whole thing of watching it again and again. There's a big market. There's beer commercials in it. There's this huge industry of just worldliness and idleness, actually, is what it turns out to be. It can be a colossal waste of time. But anyway, I told God, I can see that for my life, NBA.com is not working for me. I'm going to stop going to NBA.com. I said, I vow to stop watching NBA.com. If I had said that maybe before, I don't know, I would have kept watching it. But somehow, God has blessed me in the heat of the NBA finals. We have Boston Celtics. They're doing so great. Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen and everybody. But no, I stopped. And I haven't gone to NBA.com. I only Anna heard that the Celtics won the championship, and she knew, she didn't want to tell me, but I listened to the news for the weather, and then they had told me about it after I finally found out that they won the championship. Oh, and there's going to be a big parade through the city. So, but I've been able to keep my word on that matter, and I feel free for that particular thing. And whatever the thing is in your heart that is a problem for you, the deepest parts, the deepest things that you know is wrong in your heart and you've tried, you haven't been able to do it, ask God to help you and tell God that you're going to stop doing it by His power and you will stop. That's the power of the soul, and that's how to love God with your soul. Lastly, to love God with your strength, that just means what you do. Love God with your strength, with your muscles and your feet, where you go, your hand, what you look at. You can love God with your body. It's something, this is a message now that hits home for me. Commit everything that you're doing now to God. And in that way, once you've committed everything that you're doing to God, you can't do something awful and say, okay, God, bless this now. You'll find out that that thing has to go if you want God to continue to be in your life. If you carefully examine everything that you do and you say, oh God, enter this part, oh God, come into this part, join me as I read this thing, join me as I walk to this place, join me as I do this, you'll find that either you're going to rebel against God and stop praying that and just keep doing it, or you're going to find that God is going to come into your life and help you to, even in the things that you do. Everything that you have, all your talents, find out a way how to give it to the Lord. I do it in part, but I have a long way to go. If you're beautiful, like most of us are, or you're handsome, or you have some strength in some way, I don't know, find out a way to use it for God. Because God gave it to you to be used for Him. There's a way to use even your beauty for God. Find a way to do it because He meant it to be used for Him. Skills, programming, and everything that you're doing, your research. Commit it to God. Your math thing, your studies, and your work and everything. Commit it to God and say, I want the skill that I'm working at now to be used for God's glory. It's not for myself, it's for you. A simple prayer, maybe even a generic prayer, but it's a prayer that God will answer because He wants you to love Him in that way. And like I was saying before, these TV shows, and I'll also say YouTube shows, and I will say all the other internet, is the same kind of deal. If you're spending too much time on the internet doing whatever, legitimate or illegitimate, but you're finding that it's keeping you from God, cut it out and find some way to use that time for God. God will help you. God is for you. He wants your good. He wants you to love Him. Yeah, He wants you to love Him so that He can be loved, but He also wants you to love Him because it's the best thing that you can do for Him and do for yourself. Loving God is the best for yourself. So I just want to close in that way. If you've been touched by the message, then the natural response is to go and pray. At one point, a pastor gave an altar call or something and asked if people wanted to come and give their lives to Christ. And I gave my life to Christ. But it wasn't until I was alone with God and I told Him that I want to give my life to You, that the change really began to happen. This is something that's going to, if it's really true, that loving God, that He's, you're going to seek the person that if you have God, that everything will go well for your life. Then carve out some time. And today would be probably the best day, but sometime soon. And don't delay, because you don't know what's going to happen. God told me I was at some point in college and I was questioning whether God exists and so forth. Does God exist? Does not God not exist? I don't want to be an atheist and all that stuff. But then God clearly showed me that he existed without any doubt. For me, is because he showed me that the devil existed. And just by just some simple logic, if the devil exists, therefore God exists. I began to know that God existed, and I knew that, but I waited 9 months before I actually did something about it. And it's God's grace that I lasted that long, and I was able to actually follow up on it. But, no, let's pray now. And ask God that we'd be able to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. Ask him for the ability. The ability first comes through Jesus Christ. If you don't have Jesus Christ, then the first step to loving God with all of your heart, soul, and strength is to ask Jesus to come and change your life and help you live it. And then once you have Jesus Christ, it becomes your decision to choose to love God. Let's pray that all of us would seek to love God and that we would all be found, when everything's done, that we'd be found to be people who really love God with everything that we are. Let's pray.
Father,
I pray that, Lord, I thank you for your love for me, O God. Thank you for your love for us, O God. Lord, thank you for your love for us. Lord, thank you for your love for us, O God. Thank you for your love for us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to love you in return, to follow you, the greatest commandment, to love you with all of our heart, mind, and strength, our soul and strength, O God. Father, I pray, help us to love you. Lord, help us to love you with all of our heart, soul, and strength. To set our heart on seeking you, to set our mind on seeking you, and to give you all of our strength, O God. Help us to love you. Help us all to be found that because Jesus lives in us, we are now lovers, Lord. Father, I pray that you bless us all to have Jesus. And bless us each to choose to love you, Lord. Father, I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.